fighting for America.
As your commander-in-chief, I will not commit you and the rest of our armed forces to fighting another ground war in Iraq. They can secure their own country's futures.
Fighting for Idaho.
I think these guys got to realize that they're role models and they can't be doing things like what they're doing today. They need to recognize that, hey, look, if I do something like that, I'm going to get suspended or banned from the league.
Fighting for you.
Congratulations for the Marconi Award. Did you have to speak Italian to receive that?
Yes, I like these very much.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I'm so proud of you.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning. Governor Otter with us. Governor, welcome back.
Thank you. And once again, congratulations for the Marconi Award. Did you have to speak Italian to receive that?
No, but...
Yes, I like these very much.
No, but I did make an impression, Governor, when you know, it's like a big ceremony. So you go up there and everybody's very dignified. Well, I ran up there, got out of breath and started screaming, yes, 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 shaking my fist, and then made a speech about localism and all the things that we do here in Idaho.
Really? So, did you mention my name?
I said I owe it all to Governor Otter. No, but I did mention Kevin Godwin's name.
That's a good thing.
It is. Governor, you take a look at the campaign.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the future of Idaho. It's the political season. You're rolling.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, the difference is always going to be the opponents are going to say what they're going to do. I'm just asking folks to look at the success record that we've had. Idaho coming out of this recession as well as we did. We're fifth in the nation in almost every important category for starting a business, developing a business, enlarging a business, and for the sustainable and safety of capital, the low risk of capital. We borrow money cheaper or as cheap as anybody in the United States. We just borrowed $475 million to show you how good our credit rating is.
Right.
We've borrowed our bridge financing because we have to make large payments in September and then again in November to the school districts, 115 school districts all over the state. So we had to borrow the bridge financing in order to do that, and we paid 0.11 for $475 million. Now, that's $11 per every 100,000 that we borrowed. That was the rent that we had to pay on. There isn't anybody else can borrow money that cheap, any cheaper than that in the United States, for the other states. Our unemployment is 4.8, pretty good,
right.
2 points below the national average. We were voted the second best state to start a business up because of the safety of capital. We're behind Utah, but we're pushing Utah. We'll make them even better as
sure.
we push them. In almost every category, we're doing great, but we're coming up out of it. So the criticisms you can look at a glass, whether it's half full or half empty.
Right.
And, I've always tried to be optimistic and not so much get down in the dumps by the pessimism. But if you look at the print media, a lot of times, I guess that negativism is what sells. And it's just difficult for me to go there.
Let me hit you with this. What do you think of our friend Stephen Yates taking over the party? You and I have covered this, bringing the party back together. You're the leader of the party. Chairman Yates is clearly behind you. Your thoughts on Chairman Yates and the Republican Party in this election?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve Yates has done exactly what needed to be done for the party, and that was to reach out to both sides, having come from neither camp, and say, listen, what's important here? Isn't November 4th the most important thing? Isn't Idaho continuing to be one of the most conservative states in the United States, the state that paid all through all this recession, paid its bills every year, never raised taxes, balanced its budget every year, and continued to be optimistic and lead the rest of the nation out of the recession? Isn't that what's important? And stands up for family. You know, I'm getting a lot of criticism, as you might expect, for defending Article 3, Section 28 of the Idaho Constitution, which defines marriage in Idaho as union between one man and one woman. And, you know, we have spent $77,000, I think, total on that lawsuit so far. But, you know, what's the Constitution worth if it's not worth defending?
Well, Governor, let's talk about this for a moment, because it would be very easy for you to acquiesce. You know, you've got the tyranny of the bench overturning the will of the people in Idaho, and you're saying that's not right.
I am saying that's not right, but I'm also saying that when the governor and, you know, everybody who's getting ready, who's wanting to run off for office, will stand on those Capitol steps, on the constitutional office, on the floor of the House, on the floor of the Senate, when the legislature starts, everybody's going to raise their right hand, and they're going to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution and laws of the state of Idaho, in fulfilling the duties and obligations of their office to the best of their ability, so help them God. And you can't, unless you got a whole litany of things that you're not going to say, people that are saying, well, we could spend more money, other states spend more money than they got. Hey, Article 7, Section 11 of the Constitution of the state of Idaho says you can't do that. So I would fully expect people are going to be totally honest from what they're saying on the campaign to what when they take the oath of office. They'll say, yeah, except this part, and this part of the Constitution.
Right.
I'll do exactly that to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Right.
You can't do that.
As a person who defends the Constitution, as a person of religious caliber, you know, you and I go to the same church.
Yeah.
We love the Lord. Your thoughts on, again, getting back to the same-sex marriage decision. Obviously, when this decision comes down, whether it's Utah's, whether it's Idaho's case, we expect it to go to the Supreme Court. How do you see that playing out?
First off, let me say all that I am, all that I have, and all that I ever will be, I owe to him. Himself, I call him. And I think I got a pretty good relationship with him. I think you've got to go as far as you can go. The court that we picked, we drew a bad hand. Two of the judges, settled four of these cases against the Constitution. Another two of the cases against the Constitution. The third one hasn't dealt with a same-sex marriage case. So, but just the questions that they ask, you know, tells me that it's probably going to go the other way, and we're going to end up in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. And I purposely didn't ask Scalia when he was out here anything about that.
Right.
Because I didn't want him to be in any way prejudge or prejudiced and have to recuse himself in case our Idaho and our Utah case gets up before the Supreme Court.
Governor, you've always been a source of optimism. And, you know, even when things are bad, even when it was the recession, what do you say to people as a husband, a father, a grandfather, that are very concerned about their children not having the same standard of living or a lower standard of living than they have currently?
Well, what I say is exactly what my parents said to me, you know, get a good education. You want a better life? We want you to have a better life. So my parents wanted us to have a good education. As a businessman, I knew that the next generation of French fries was sitting around in kindergarten or the sixth grade or high school or some college class just waiting to be creative. And for that creative genius in each and every one of the students to be challenged by a good teacher and as a political leader. You know, Franklin said it best, a well-educated citizenry is our first line of defense over any form of tyranny. If you can't enslave the mind, you can't enslave the body. So that's why we work so hard to reform education. Kevin, this is the first, why am I so optimistic? This is the first time I've ever seen a bipartisan, bicameral business and the education industry all agreeing on a reform package in education that's a five-year, $350 million plan. I've never seen this before. And I challenge anybody to come forward and say, when have we ever seen a multiple-year plan to do the reforms in education, to pay the teachers, to get them the ongoing education they need, to present them a tier ladder, to present them a career opportunity, and to increase their pay and pay them for the great performance that they've got the capacity to do in the classroom. We've never had that. We've got that now.
Governor, final question here. Speaking of education, we go to the schools all the time. Do you think that we get a bum rap when people say, oh, Idaho's this rank, that rank, when we have people that go to the Ivy League, that go to Stanford, that really achieve? How big of an issue is education to you if elected one more time?
Well, the very first, it's obviously the top issue. That's our workforce. And the quality of our workforce is going to continue to bring in the kind of capital. Capital needs to be operated. Capital needs to be creative. You got to have creative people, motivated people, disciplined people in order to work that capital, in order to work at the job stations and or provide the services that are needed. And so education is the number one issue because economy is the number one. You want the kind of education system, we got to have a good, robust economy in order to gather the necessary revenues to pay for that. So it's all about education, and it's always been. You know, people say it's, but what they look to is, all right, how much money are you spending? And I'm saying, Kevin, Idahoans are notorious for saying it's not how much money you spend, it's how you spend the money. And we get a better bounce for our buck. You know, that's why our teachers are the 31st in the nation in pay. You know, we pay more for our teachers than they do in Montana and you know, a couple of other states around us, Utah. And we're 31st in the nation there. When we look at our grades, we may be 48th or whatever they're saying now. Or may have been. I'm going to say may have been because the latest figures don't reflect that we're second from the bottom in how much we pay. But the reason I don't emphasize that is because I don't think that's important. I think the results are important. Take a look at the grades that our students get compared to the grades that Washington D.C. students get, where they pay $21,000 per student per year.
Governor, a final self-plug, a Kevin Miller Day, Kevin Miller Proclamation, Marconi. What do you think?
Oh, how about another 15 minutes?
As the Lieutenant Governor says, I have to go self-soap now, but you're always welcome to hang out with us, sir. Yes.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the time. And thanks for the great job you do in honoring our vets.
Well, thank you, and thank you for always being with us. You know, you're a great guy because a lot of people say, well, Governor Otter this, Governor that, Otter that. I go, out of anybody that I've been involved with in the last 20 years, you've always had an open hand to me when a friendship, no matter what I say. And I can't say that for everybody. Yeah. So God bless you. And thank you for always understanding the importance of our medium. Not everybody gets it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And once again, congratulations.
Have a good one.
You bet. Bye-bye.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller here. Let's talk to our great friend, Senator Crapo. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Let's start with the big one, ISIS and ISIL. Big testimony yesterday. Apparently, Bob Corker, Senator Corker, made Senator Boxer shake with the grilling of Senator Kerry. You pretty much asked the tough questions. You want answers. Where do you stand on this threat?
Well, first and foremost, ISIS is the threat that it is being portrayed to be, in my opinion. There is a very real danger that if we don't stop ISIS, that we will see them bring their war to our shores and to America. They are, in my opinion, the biggest danger to our national security. And that being said, I'm not going to vote today. We have a vote today in the Senate on the president's request to arm the so-called moderate Syrian rebels in Syria to ask them to go fight ISIS for us. I wonder how long it will be before those weapons that we provide to the so-called moderate Syrian rebels will be used against America as opposed to against ISIS. As a matter of fact, it's not even clear that they won't just take those weapons and use them against the Assad regime as opposed to ISIS. And I just don't think the president has a good plan put in place yet. He had to literally be forced by the American people to recognize ISIS as a threat, and he still will not put forward the kind of plan that, in my opinion, will establish a strong security for the United States.
Well, here's the issue. The president calls him JV. He's going to decimate him. Then he isn't. Then he rips the press for asking him a question, which is the policy. His generals are saying, it doesn't look like air power alone is going to do it. And the president yesterday saying, Senator Crapo, here at 580KIDO, I mean it this time, no boots on the ground. Where's the consistency in the messaging?
There is no consistency in the messaging. Well, I guess there is one consistency, and the consistency is inconsistency. I think that there was a video apparently put out yesterday by ISIS or some of ISIS supporters that, as I understand it, it attempted to kind of portray the assaults they were going to take on America. And one of the things they said in the video apparently was they quoted the president saying that he wasn't going to come after them. And I believe that they have a very pretty high level of confidence that the president will not take the necessary actions to stop them.
Well, what does that really say? That here we have an enemy that's getting on videos, calling out the president by name. It's as if they have no respect for us, sir. What are your thoughts on the ISIS threat as far as do they not fear the United States of America?
I don't believe that they have a fear that the United States will take the acts necessary to stop them. And you have to go back. Frankly, this is not all just on President Obama's watch. I supported the war in Iraq, and I supported the war in Afghanistan because I believed the threats there also were threats to our national security that we had to deal with. But when we put our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, we did not give them the rules of engagement to achieve their objectives. We put them there and then basically went into some kind of an occupational mode where we would not tolerate any kind of aggressive movement on our troops' part to achieve the necessary national objective to protect our national security. And we've had a pattern of that now that's gone on for years. And I believe that ISIS recognizes that pattern. They recognize the weakness in the president that of his statements and the inconsistencies in his statements. And I don't believe that they have any kind of a serious fear that the president will do what is necessary to stop them from pursuing their objectives, their immediate objectives of taking control in large parts of Iraq and Syria.
Senator, the economy, obviously we're very concerned about jobs, about economic growth here in Idaho and across the country. You yourself always at the forefront when it comes to the pocketbook, when it comes to the future. We've never heard more fear from the American public, from the Idaho public, about their children, their grandchildren, whether it's personal or the national debt. Where are we, sir?
Well, as I've said many times and on your show many times, the biggest threat we face in this nation is our national debt. If we don't control our national debt, there's no way we will be able to fight off enemies like ISIS or deal with the domestic crisis and our economic crises that are facing us. And as we discuss this, the president, again, refuses to engage with us to make the necessary steps to put together a plan to deal with our debt. We've got to reform our tax code. Our tax code is broken so badly that it is anti-competitive to American business interests and is hammering our ability to provide increased capital formation here in the United States and grow small businesses. The health code, Obamacare, is now slamming small businesses and individuals and families alike across this country with increased health care costs and, in many cases, the loss of health care or access to health care that are making them fearful that they will be able to provide for their own care. And the list goes on. The regulatory burdens that our government is now putting on businesses is driving them out of business or causing them to shrink or at least not to expand. And, you know, back to the tax code, Our tax code is now causing businesses to leave the United States. Not just new startups forming elsewhere, but existing businesses leaving the United States because they can no longer deal with the burdens that our code puts in front of them. And these issues we understand, we know how to fix them, but we can't get agreement here in Washington to move forward.
Let's get political. Idaho Senator, U.S. Senator Mike Crapo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. If there's a change in power, if Harry Reid gets the boot, does that mean that some of this work gets done? Could we see the president be conciliatory to try and unite folks in his last 2 years, similar to what we saw with Bill Clinton?
Well, we could, but we certainly must take the opportunity to try. I'm not going to guarantee to you right now that President Obama will take the approach that President Clinton ultimately did, where, as you said, he finally came around and finally signed some major reforms that were critical for our country. But we've got to get those reforms to the president. And one thing I can tell you for sure is if the Republicans do retake the Senate, that we will move the legislation that will provide the solutions to the jobs and the economy and to our national security that American people are clamoring for. I think these solutions by themselves will have the necessary power and support of the American people that they will be able to get past the filibuster in the Senate and to the president's desk. And frankly, I believe that he will sign some of them. And the ones he doesn't sign, we'll go back again. Remember on welfare reform with President Clinton, he vetoed it twice. But on the third time around, he finally came around and signed it. So we're just going to have to be persistent and continue to push forward with these solutions. And frankly, I think as the American people weigh in, which I'm very hopeful they will, and not just in November, but continuously thereafter, that can have a huge impact on the president's willingness to be more conciliatory and to work with us.
Senator, we'll talk to the veterans for you. Thank you for your service, and thank you for always making time for us. We really appreciate it, sir.
I appreciate the opportunity, and have a great day and a great weekend out there.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, I just want to say that no one ever wants to be Alan. Everybody wants to be Charlie. Of course, that's when Two and a Half Men were good. And as I was watching some classic shows of that show the other day, I'm thinking, if it were Dave Burnett and I, who would be Alan and who would be Charlie?
I don't know that that would even fit.
Well, I know, but if you had to do that, you know what I'm saying?
If you had to force it into a box, I mean, you could do that with The Odd Couple, or you could do that with anything. You could do that with Laverne and Shirley. Who's Laverne and who's Shirley?
Well, I think The Odd Couple, unfortunately, is probably more appropriate, but yes, than Two and a Half Men. What a horrible, repugnant show, but devilishly brilliant with some degree, yes.
Yeah, you know, you're talking, what, 6 years ago now, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
And you know, you look at that character, and he would probably be the modern-day Fonzie, the Charlie character.
Yeah, well, modern-day as in 7 years ago, yeah, modern-day.
Right, but I mean, but yeah. You know, the idea of the cool guy. Of course, Fonzie wasn't really self-deprecating.
You know, I hesitate, because I don't see him as a cool guy. I saw him as a slime bag.
Yeah, slime bags are in.
Interesting.
Self-deprecating. Well, I mean, you know, it's funny, I was talking to one of our staff members here yesterday, and we were talking about marriage and relationships and the like, and how they've become, how should I put this? You know, the idea of friends with benefits or shacking up, it's the normal thing. And, you know, the idea that, you know, some people want something, that traditional relationship, but the courtship process has changed, if you will. I mean, being together is now, you know, the equivalent of marriage in most people's eyes. More people live in sin, as I call it, than are married.
You know, I think it's been going on for a long time. I just think it's just accepted now. It's one of those sayings that it's been going on long enough that it's just accepted. I think that's the case. And maybe as, you know, the baby boomers get older, it's more accepted. That,
or,
you know,
or the, not the baby boomers, but the millennials come into age because, let's face it.
But even the baby boomers, even within, and I'm just short of being a baby boomer. I'm what they consider a Brady boomer. Those more that can relate to the Brady Bunch as opposed to, you know, the baby boomers. I'm right on that, that edge. But, you know, even if you think back to the hippie free love days and all the things that took place then, things changed back then, Kevin. It's just now that people, you know, shrug their shoulders and go, eh, oh, well.
Yeah, that's what happens when they burned all those bras.
Is that what did it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Anyway, I don't know how we got started on that here at 580
KIO. I don't know.
But,
you're steering the car.
Unfortunately, yes. I want to invite everybody to check out our friends at Cloverdale Funeral Home. I was there yesterday for the Traveling Wall, the American Veterans Traveling Tribute. An incredible moving ceremony yesterday. And by the way, that'll be available at 580kido.com coming up today. However, you really need to go there, and just the effort, the work ethic of folks. I was just amazed that here I am hanging out, you know, sitting there having a cup of coffee, talking about working out in the cold. And there was 50 to 100 volunteers that had that wall up in less than an hour yesterday.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. And it is worth, you need to stop by and visit the site. It would be a very good thing to do.
Well, and not only do you have the wall, but you have, you know, how many people were killed in the Civil War, September 11th, the Korean War, all the battles, if you will, in American history, and the idea that they honored first responders yesterday. It was a moving tribute. I had a chance to catch up with Sergeant Major Goodell, who was instrumental in getting us to Iraq and back, thankfully. And it was nice to see a lot of friends. I want to say hi to the young lady. And she said her name is like Neil Diamond, and I can't think of it right now. But she's out there delivering the papers, and she always listens. And she goes, I love that show. And, well, we love you for justifying our existence. So
her name is like Neil Diamond? Like Camille, maybe, or something?
Yeah, something like that. A Neil Diamond song, and I'm going, that really wasn't me. I wasn't Neil Diamond.
Hmm.
You know, the idea of a guy wearing a jumpsuit.
Elvis did that.
Well, he could get away with it, even later. The only jumpsuit that I've worn is, remember, what was
that
it?
That orange one?
Yeah, that too. But do you remember in the early 80s where all of a sudden they had the what's old is new pajamas where it was like the zip thing? I don't want to call it a onesie, but it was a onesie, if you will.
Okay.
Not a onesie in that, but you know
what
I'm saying.
Do you have pictures? Because I'd like to see that online.
I was a little kid.
I would go to the, oh, I thought you were an adult wearing
no,
it.
I was a little kid, oh. You know. You'd have, you
that'd
know.
That'd be a onesie then.
Yeah, and it was nice. And you didn't have to wear socks because, you know, you had the whole thing was a one-piece thing.
Maybe you could wear one as an adult.
Maybe I could. Maybe I could be like the people at some of these stores and just wear my pajamas in.
You could lay around the house in your onesie and
maybe,
just watch TV.
Maybe they could have, you know, wear pajamas to work day or something like that. I think that would be good.
You kind of get that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. A big program today. We have, just a treasure trove of talent. The one, the only, David Limbaugh will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Well, the big guy's brother.
Yes, but you can't say that to him.
No.
He's the big guy, if you ask him.
Yeah, well, David Limbaugh, very accomplished author.
Yes.
So.
Yes, he has two clients, one being his brother and the other being Sean Hannity.
See, those are two pretty big clients.
You know, if I'm Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, instead of doing all these, I just get two big clients.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing it wrong for how many years?
Well, you go ahead and tell Alan that.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't even have to do a tease on Facebook. Here's the tease from him this morning. This morning on KIDO 580 Radio, Kevin Miller discusses the recent discovery concerning the hackers' break into the database of Home Depot. The security breach is reported to be much larger than the security breach that happened to Target's customers earlier this year. Fortunately for you, Kevin Miller accepts your cash payments, so you need not worry about security breaches.
Hmm.
Exactly. Payments for what?
I use Home Depot a lot, but we've changed credit card numbers and everything since then. So,
well, that's the idea, you know, trust us. And Apple, hey, I mean, the new iPhone's going on sale.
Today.
And apparently there was a video of the guy that got his first iPhone, and he goes, hi, everybody, I got an iPhone 6. And he drops it on live TV.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Probably didn't buy the case with the Verizon plan.
And they'll go, oh, too bad.
Well, you got that, but the idea of, you know, these iPhones. And it's funny because Samsung has really caught up to them, but people still love the Apple. And, you know, whatever happened to, if it works, you keep going. No, I want the newest and latest and greatest.
It's how we are as a society.
If you can afford that.
Exactly.
Well, Dave Petzl has a good thing about the iPhone and Apple when he's with us. You know, they've made a luxury a necessity. Apple has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, new model starting at about 200 bones with a two-year contract. That's just really about it. But, you know, how many people even stick to their two-year contracts?
I've got to upgrade. I want a bigger phone.
It's funny. One of the remote techs here, one of the young newbies.
Who, Billy?
Wanted to borrow my phone.
What?
They had to borrow my phone. Theirs was out of power. So they took my old Android and fired it up and went, oh. Kind of like, this is a dinosaur.
Was it like the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah, it's like, is what they said. Oh, well, how do you use this?
Right.
Thank you. And that's when I said, well, if you hit pound, and they went, pound, what's that?
Pound.
Pound, you know, like hashtag on the phone. Oh, that's what they call it, pound? Yeah, that's what they call it, pound.
Man.
Yeah. It made me feel very old.
Well, you know, there we are, starting off with a little old stuff in the morning here.
Just laughing. Producer Ray, he still runs an old Razer phone from 2006.
Those Razers were good phones.
They were, and it still works for him. But, Ray's going to be very busy. He'll know the road between here and Mountain Home well. Headed down, of course, Mountain Home, Gunfighter Sky. Lots going on this weekend. Got Gunfighter Sky going on. Ray will be down there today, tomorrow, and Sunday. You got the football game, BSU taking on Louisiana, the old Raging Cajun of whatever they are, Louisiana, whatever.
Monroe.
You got the Fit One celebration going on, then the big walk run tomorrow. There is no shortage of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a very busy weekend.
Indeed.
Are you running or walking?
What's that?
Or gunfighting?
Neither.
None?
I'm working, as I always do. We'll be doing the Saturday show from 5 to 8. And then doing a few other things. That's what I'll be doing.
Oh, okay. No shortage of things to do.
Yep. Let's see. Moving right along here at 580 KIDO. Still trying to figure out the connection, what to do in Syria. French overnight bombed ISIS. ISIS continues to threaten the West. We're chasing some Fox News correspondents. Australia now trying not to get into the mix, but they have some Australian folks. You just wonder whether or not the president has the credibility to form an international coalition, even rivaling that of President Bush II, not the first.
You know, I find it interesting when he talks about these coalitions and all of our partners with us. If you look at the numbers of the troops involved from other countries, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me right here, but it's somewhat embarrassing. When you look at, you know, some countries have 10 soldiers, other countries have 12 soldiers. So when you look at that international coalition that we have going in Afghanistan right now, it almost takes more people to manage the coalition than it does for their help that goes into it.
Well, and you'll have the administration on all the Sunday shows going, this is a broad-based coalition. We're building a consensus. This is great. People have bought into what the president's talking about. And then you have the Saudis, who have the most to gain, the most to lose. Don't do anything about this. I feel sorry for the Jordanians, because they don't have the money as their Arab allies do, but
and they got 40 hostages being held.
Right, but you know they're stuck in the middle, so they're dependent on us, and we've proven in the past not really to take care of our friends. Well, we promise them everything, and then we desert them. I mean, that's regardless of the administration, that's what happens.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll continue to watch that. The whole thing just scares me.
Right. So here, as we continue on at 580KIDO, speaking of scary stuff, obviously domestic violence has been in the news, and we want to invite you to join us at Foothills Christian Church this Thursday at 7 o'clock, where we will have a meeting, a gathering of you, of me, and of others to examine the threat of domestic violence, of child abuse here in the Treasure Valley. We'll be joined in prayer, in song, in information. And our goal here is to get the word out. And people say, well, Kevin, the word is going out. Well, you can never do enough. Think about that young child that you know and what would have happened to them if they were harmed. The idea that you have these big stars in the NFL that sit back and do their own thing, that complain that they're not being allowed to discipline their children. that has an impact. And we've seen children here in the Treasure Valley recently beaten, recently killed by people that were caretakers. Folks, you need to be here Thursday, Foothills Christian Church, at 7 o'clock. We just ask you to come out and join us for about an hour. And it's always good to see you. It was awesome to see you yesterday. And send a message that this is not acceptable. We live in the greatest area in the greatest state in the country. People here are so friendly. And that doesn't keep us immune from the crimes against children, the crimes against women. Foothills Christian Church, 7 o'clock this Thursday. We'd love to see you.
Yeah. Hoping to further expose domestic violence. And here in the Treasure Valley, I think that's... I was watching the NFL game last night, and they touched and talked about it a little bit. But I think the biggest and the best thing to come of this is that within these big, rich, powerful stars, they're exposed. They are sitting exposed right now as more and more having to own up to domestic violence they've been involved in. So that's a good thing. Exposure is a good thing.
Right, and people talk about, well, what do you hope to accomplish if we can raise awareness? I'm trying to think who we, maybe I guess it was Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who said, you know, if you see something, you're obligated to report it. Now, I know if you're an educator, I know that if you're in the public sector, that is the law. That is, you could lose your job for not reporting it if there is suspected abuse. But really, the idea of letting that go on and, oh, that's just somebody else's problem, no. It's all of our problems. So, yeah.
And it is amazing. As we have talked and had meetings with this, different people have spoken up and said, you know what, there's been situations of domestic abuse in my life or in somebody I know close. And how many people that have been touched and affected by domestic violence. So big topic, market Thursday, 7 o'clock out at Foothills Christian Church out on State Street. Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming out.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, time to get up and start your day, everybody. By the way, I want to say hi to Eddie, who I thought was Charlie. And Charlie and Eddie could be brothers. They look so much alike. Charlie always gets me the Facebook. Hello to Rome, to Bob. Met so many people yesterday. Please check out the American Veterans Traveling Tribute at Cloverdale Funeral Home till Sunday. That's at Cloverdale and Fairview. Time for traffic now with Dave. And don't forget, coming up, we'll have the latest on the iPhone 6. How big? How bad? How necessary is it? I mean, are we talking about something that by Christmas is going to be antiquated? Oh, boy. Whatever happened to that great behavioral process we called delayed gratification? Boy, that's out with the dinosaurs. Good morning. Serving M.